with Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. I sound like Lawrence Welford. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger on the phone with us here on San Diego 1700. Governor, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Well, thank you very much. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. My neck's fine now ever since we talked last when you admitted you were trying to kill me with a headlock, but it was only with love and affection, and you also admitted that I'm in the will, so I feel a whole lot better. And now back to the fiduciary excitement here. You've been real busy since last time, and I'll tell you, this is not the kind of budget you throw a party when you're signing, is it? Because we pushed a lot of the problems into next year. Isn't that the bottom line on the bottom line?
I think that, first of all, you know, there were some really good things done in this budget, but it definitely was not the kind of budget where you want to celebrate because, first of all, we did have a $15 billion structural deficit. I think a lot of programs had to be cut because of that,
mm-hmm.
and also because of the financial situation that the state and the country is in right now, and economically the situation we are in, it was not the time to celebrate anything. So what we did was we did a very low-key signing in my office and expressed how happy I was that we got at least the structural problems, I mean, pushed aside, but I mean to deal with the reforms and to really have the reforms that I've been fighting for ever since I've come into office, which is to create a rainy day fund of $12.5 billion and to have the governor have the mid-year cut authority so that when the revenues go down, we can make the cut.
Well, that's a big deal. I know the rainy day fund is something you've been pushing all along, and the other side would say, oh, we've sort of got that covered. But you got a big bump in that, and certainly we've seen, I think everybody can agree, why that's important. So that was progress in spite of all the challenges with the line item vetoes and so forth.
Right. It's very important, not for immediate use, but it is very important when we have the next crisis so we don't sit here and argue over should we raise taxes, should we cut more programs and all of those things. We would have had none of the problems if we would have had those reforms in place for the last 10 years. This is why I insisted, and this is why I threatened them, that I will veto the budget if we don't get budget reform, because it is ludicrous to do the same thing over and over again and then to hope for a different outcome. There is no different outcome. If we don't have reserves, then you can't draw down from those reserves when you have a financial problem. And this is what we had this time. We had a financial problem because revenues came in less, and
yep.
there's nowhere to take the money from because they always use the rainy day fund as a slush fund or as a reserve which they use for any purpose. So this time I stood my ground. I told them I will veto the budget, and I will push back hard. And the other thing, of course, that I pushed back on is, as you remember, they wanted to do this withholding. They
yep.
started pulling a trick. They said, well, this is not a tax increase. We're just withholding the almost $2 billion and take money out of people's paychecks without really letting them know by saying this is just borrowing. We will give it back. I said to them, you're sure the legislators will ever give anything back? I said to them, no. If you put that in, I will not sign the budget. So finally they agreed to take it out. And then, therefore, I could sign the budget.
Now, talk about the line item vetoes, Governor. When you have something we talked about last time you were on with us, and you hadn't used the line item veto yet. You used it, 70 times, I think, this go-around. That ticked off many Democrats. And the whole point is you really can't look at cuts without hurting somebody, without causing somebody to say, wait a minute, that's our area. And you know how this has been portrayed. And for example, this is out of the Union Tribune. It says line item veto is $510 million, including $191 million in renter and property tax assistance for seniors and $70 million from welfare. It sounds like you're intentionally hurting people. You know how they portray that. How do you answer that?
Well, I think that it is very clear when the legislature leaves me only with an $800 million reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to have at least 3-4% of our budget in reserve, which will be $4-5 billion. Last year, for instance, we had $4 billion in reserves. They only left me $800 million. This is not even 1% of the budget. That's 0.8%. I mean, think about that. This will be wiped out within months, and then we have already an economy that maybe brings in $2-3 billion less in revenues this year. So I have no money then to work with. So this was irresponsible, and this is why I had to make additional cuts to bring my reserves up to $1.6 billion. So I had to do that. It's not that I want to cut programs. It's very difficult, as I've explained. It's very difficult for me to sit there and make those cuts because it always is having an effect on poor people, want people to get those very important services. But I had no choice.
And, you know, often they'll look at a cut and make it seem like somehow there's nothing being done for one particular group or another. And the reality is there's usually spending being given on a lot of different levels. And it gets demagogued politically by both sides at times if their ox is being gored, if you will.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I think, Mark, the important thing here is that in this budget some good things were done. We were able to go and to push back really hard so they don't borrow money and take money from local government. We were able to push back so they don't take any money from transportation. We were able to push back so they don't take money out of people's paychecks. And we pushed back and said we need budget reform. The big problem that was not accomplished this year is the structural deficit. The structural deficit is still existing. We still will go into the new year and we'll have a few billion dollars of structural deficit. It's way down from the $15 billion that there was progress made, but there will be a few billion dollars, and now this coming year we have to address also that. It just was impossible to get the Democrats and the Republicans together because I think it was election year. So the Republicans couldn't really go there where they needed to go. Democrats couldn't go all the way of where they needed to go. So I think this is why they pushed it to the next year, this problem, and I think next year maybe will be easier.
Were you serious when you said to the leadership there in the Assembly and State Senate, you better get with the program, get this budget together, or I will veto everything you bring to my desk? I mean, that's a lot of everything. It's like 800 bills. Were you serious about just saying you're not getting anything the rest of the year unless you come to the table and fix this?
Well, I mean, I was very serious about it because, you know, I wouldn't have thought twice about doing exactly that. And may I remind you, Mark, that still, because they came in late with the budget, and I only have 10 days to sign the bills, which I normally have 30 days, I will not be able to deal with all of those bills the way I usually deal with. So there will be a lot of vetoes. I would say you can count on maybe at least 400 vetoes on all of those bills because I would not be able. First of all, there's a lot of terrible bills that I get across the desk that do absolutely nothing. Or maybe if they do something, they will ruin the economy and it will make people go out of business. So the job-killing bill and all the things that cost money to the state and all the things, they will veto automatically anyway. But then there's on top of it bills, you know, that I couldn't really deal with it fully. Not that they're important bills by any means, because the important bills I pull aside, so it's around 300 bills that I have that I'm going to deal with in a responsible way, and I'm going to go through it and make sure that we move the state forward with those bills, because they were good bills. But there's so many lousy bills where you say to yourself, why would the legislators deal with those bills during budget negotiations when, in fact, we didn't have a budget yet?
Yeah, that's right. And I know you've got some other big projects, including long-term reform and the lottery bonds and all of that. Now, you may have to have a special election sooner rather than later. What's the plan on that front?
Well, you're absolutely correct. I think that the legislators are going to debate that issue with us because they want to have the lottery that we talked about so many times to get this extra $5 billion from the lottery, which is a great, great asset that the state has. And also there's other things like water that we want to accomplish, as soon as the legislators come back. And, of course, the important thing is to have the budget reform itself that has to be voted on by the people. So there are several things like that that will deal with reform and that will help the state along. And so I think we have to call a special election. We just don't know, is it in March or is it in June of next year?
But it's going to be coming.
It will be a joint thing with the legislators and the governor's office.
All right. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with us in San Diego 1700. I know you're watching the national bailout plan and everything going on in Washington, D.C. as well. And that dovetailing with a pretty pessimistic report, and I'm trying to be nice about it, but the UCLA report about California stuck where we are, recession, things not really picking up and turning around till maybe late 2009. As you look at California's bottom line and what's happening nationally, and just national mood, all the talk, the crisis of confidence, how does that weigh on you as you're dealing with what you're dealing with in Sacramento?
Mark, let me just tell you, I have had this conversation with several of the very important people in the financial community, including Warren Buffett. Mm-hmm. And Warren Buffett told me many months ago, he said, Arnold, this is not a ball that is going to bounce. So he says, when it goes down, he says, it's not going to come right back, the economy. It's not going to bounce that quickly. He says, it's going to stay there for a year or two. Don't expect it to bounce back right away. Make decisions that is based on a more long-term problem. So we knew that. This is why I insisted this year to be fiscally responsible, not to be overly optimistic about the revenues we're going to take in, and to be responsible to make the necessary cuts to make the state live within its means. And we also have to do everything that we can as a state to create the economic stimulus package. This is why we are pushing out billions of dollars now of infrastructure money so that people can go and start working on this project so we can put more and more people to work. It is very important that we as a state have our act together. The economy is down, like you say, nationally, and there is a crisis worldwide. You see already other countries in Europe going into a recession and so on. So we have to be very, very careful, but I think what is going on that now finally Democrats and Republicans are working together in Washington and trying to solve this. I think the president has shown great leadership by coming out yesterday and making the statement and saying we got to go in there and help to bail those people out. But the important thing is to do it the right way, not to just bail them out, but to make sure that the government and the taxpayers, when they come back, those companies, that they're benefiting from that, they're part of that success, rather than giving them all this money and not asking for anything in return. And also to make sure that those executives don't benefit with big packages, because it will be totally unfair to the taxpayers.
Yeah, I mean, not to get the bailout and then run out with a golden parachute. I'm with you on that.
It has to be done the right way, but I think now with them both working together, whenever Democrats and Republicans come together, great things happen, and this is important now.
Well, I hope so, although sometimes when everybody's smiling, I'm a little concerned and a little apprehensive. We'll see. I'm hoping, and I hope you agree with this, that maybe California will recover faster than the rest of the country, because of the old, as California goes, so goes the nation. We've been in this sort of funk longer than the rest of the country, so maybe we come out of it earlier. Is that what you're thinking or hoping for?
We are very, very fortunate that California is resilient because we are so diversified. You know, we have the high-tech industry, we have the movie and entertainment industry, we have the biotechnology industry, we have, of course, the Central Valley and all the farming and agriculture industry. We have so many different industries in this state. That's why we're diversified, and that's why we don't get hit as badly, even though I'm very unhappy about our unemployment rate, but we are not getting hit as badly, and I think that we have a much better shot of pulling out of this. The key thing is to be fiscally responsible for everybody right now and to hold tight and to also understand that everyone has to take a little haircut here, because there's just not that much money around for all the different programs that we would like.
And very quickly, you also signed legislation that bars drivers from text messaging. And now, starting January 1st, you realize how that's going to cripple most of the members of your staff.
I'm very happy that it will make everyone stop texting, including my staff, because I think when you look at the record of how many people are getting injured or getting killed because of people being, on the phone or doing text messaging and all this, and there's, of course, other obstacles, too. So I think we have to outlaw that. But at the same time, it doesn't mean like there was one bill that came across my desk that said you cannot have a pet on your lap.
Yeah, or you can't talk to people in the car or change your radio. We don't want people to change their radio anyway, but it'd be eating in the car.
To have a pet on your lap is not going to make anyone go, not pay attention to the traffic. So there's some bills that go overboard with those ideas, and there's some bills that are very good. But like I said,
well, unless it's a Great Dane, maybe that'd be a problem. But you got to be practical.
Think it's an elephant.
Well, yeah, we won't even. Well, at least it's Republican. We don't want to go the other way. Governor, good to talk to you. Glad to hear from you, and I'm still glad you're not trying to kill me. So thank you for sharing.
I just want to say to the listeners, thank you very much for your help, because you all helped when we pushed back really hard not to take any money from local governments and from transportation and all this. Because of the pushback that we got and the people's help, the legislators stayed away from that money, and this was very helpful. The people were, again, great partners. Thank you very much.
And I'll send you a text message later, but I'll send it from the office.
Okay, good.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Mark.